Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it
you
does make not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
But your office is paid with tax dollars, right?
Madam Clerk, how much you've paid Mr. Fleming? Madam Clerk, I'm asking a question. How much are you paid, Ed Fleming?
Had you asked me this before the meeting, I could have...
Have you paid him anything? It's a simple question.
I may not have to this point.
Okay, can we have that every report, how much we're paying for outside counsel for $7,000? Because it's going to be really important to me. Because I think we're in a very frivolous situation right now.
I have the right to defend myself, and I will have to hire counsel.
And you have a right to tell what you're paying out of county dollars to the public. Thank you.
Commissioner Kohler.
Thank you. You have a right to tell the public what you're paying out of county dollars, Madam Clerk. I didn't ask for any response.
Well, you're going to get one. When I get an invoice, you can have a copy of it. I don't know. If you want to know these things, ask me ahead of time. And he also, in his deck action, would like me, and so would you, Commissioner Kohler, to ruin me personally.
Oh, I do not.
And to ruin me financially. Stop.
Silliness.
You said it. It's on record.
Come on.
Okay. To go after me personally for $1.5 million, 2 weeks later, there's a demand letter from Andrade to say, pay this money or we'll sue you for $600,000.
So, yeah, it was an interesting meeting. That's a little bit of just, you know, what happened last week, our earlier episodes of the morning, 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, if you want to go back and listen to my coverage of it. The issue is this, okay? That's mostly Pam Childers versus Mike Kohler. And the issue is that two charities, WEACS of Warrington, one, and the First Tee is the other one, were denied payment for about $7,000 total because she said it's not a county public purpose, even though the county authorized the expenditure. They went to Alex Andrade and hired him as a lawyer, not as a representative. It has nothing to do with it, as a lawyer. And he filed a lawsuit to force her to pay them. And she says they're illegal payments. They say they're legal payments. The county has the ability to authorize them. In the process, he uncovered a 1985 ordinance passed by the county commission, which says it's a normal, fine, good use of their money to pay charities, to reward charities, to do good things in the community. And so there's an ordinance which says they are allowed to do this. Now, they can't give themselves the authority to do something they don't have the authority to do. So the ordinance doesn't necessarily carry weight. What it does mean is that if Pam Childers were to win in the lawsuit and the payment was illegal, as in she was right for preventing it, that ordinance would have been struck down. And because any time an ordinance being struck down could be the outcome of a lawsuit, the county has to be brought into the process. The question then is, do they get brought in as a defendant with Pam Childers, or do they get brought in as a plaintiff with Alex Andrade's clients? And what's weird about this is if they get brought in with her, they are arguing two opposite sides because she's trying to argue that the payments are illegal and shouldn't be issued. Meanwhile, the county commission would be trying to argue that the payments are legal and should be issued, and yet they'd both be defendants in this case. So that would be weird because, you know, she would be trying to basically strike down the ordinance that they are trying to operate within. If they come in on the plaintiff's side, well, they don't want to come in on the plaintiff's side because then they're suing the county clerk, and they don't really want to sue the county clerk, and they don't want to drag this out and have extra time. And there's an additional element, and this is going to be very important to understand for the rest of this conversation. There's a $1.5 million potential back payment for the 12 years worth of funds that she has authorized that may be in jeopardy if they're illegal. So now I don't think it's $1.5 million. I mean, it could be. Okay. But if you went through all the payments and she's right that they're not county purpose, there's a law in Florida that says that if she authorizes something illegal, she is personally on the hook for paying that back. So the concern is that if she winds up winning, okay, and they do not issue the $7,000, now maybe there's as much as $600,000 to $1.5 million that she would be obligated personally to pay back to the county for things that she has said yes to for 12 years and is now saying no to. Okay, John, you following all this so far?
I got you.
You've had a couple of hours to get caught up on all this, but, you know, it's a lot to track, I know. And so Steve Stroberger says, well, I don't want to do that.
I also don't believe that the payments are illegal. And I'd never sign up for the clerk at any point having to pay for anything.
Commissioner, if you want to condition your vote on that, I'm perfectly happy. Oh, and keep in mind, if you're the defendants in this case, your legal arguments will be very different than the clerk's legal arguments because of y'all's obvious position.
Right,
because
they're in a different position as far as the legality of the payments. And he's like, I'm doing this work already. If you join me on the plaintiff's side, which Pam has already said she does not want to have happen, but if you join him on the plaintiff's side, then, you know, he's going to do all the work, basically, and it's going to be straightforward. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has to, we'll finish it in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that economic development is about building our economy for all current and future residents? Presented by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Still rolling accident-free, but not delay-free if you're on 9 Mile Road going westbound toward I-10, experiencing about a 7-minute delay. I-10, I-110 are back to looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, back to the drama at the Escambia County Commission meeting over the lawsuit, over the payment of funds to charities. Pam Childers says it's illegal. The county commission says it's legal. Alex Andrade represents two charities who say that it's legal. And the question is, since the outcome of this case would involve striking down potentially an ordinance that the county commission passed back in the 80s, they have to be brought into this lawsuit. The only question is bring them in as defendants with her, even though they disagree with her, bring them in with him, even though they don't want to sue the county clerk.
The most uneasy thing about this is being on the other side of that V, suing her, the clerk of court. We're suing ourselves. That's what we're doing.
Well, they have done it before over the the 401A. You remember all that?
If you think it's lawful, you think it's lawful whether you're a plaintiff or a defendant. Your position doesn't change. So I would implore you not to be the plaintiff. And I don't think you're going to get the answers you're looking for in this case.
So we'll see, because, you know, what she's basically saying is that it's going to be a case-by-case basis. You're not going to get the wide-ranging answer to the question that you want, which is what Lumen is looking for here.
We keep bringing, Percy, it's not about that answer. It's, does it serve as a public purpose? And, you know, for me, Madam Clerk, we changed the name of the discretionary into community impact funds.
This lawsuit isn't going to define that for you, but you can believe what you want to. This is not the lawsuit that's going to do it, because you're going to find that you have the legislative authority. You're also going to find that I have authority
to say no to certain payments when they are illegal or outside of the bounds of what's allowed or specifically prohibited. Allison Rogers, the county attorney, because they've been asking her, what does she think about being plaintiffs or being defendants?
It is sounding like you are going to end up in this lawsuit one way or another based on the arguments, in fact, that I think both parties have made, whether it be related to standing or declaratory judgment related issues. So it sounds like we're going to end up in it regardless. Plaintiff, in my opinion, gives you a little bit more ability to control the story, to control the remedies. It does.
So she's saying it's better to be the plaintiff, which is what Alex Andrade has been advising as well. She was very clear about that a second time with Mike Kohler.
In my opinion, it's better because you can control better what is happening.
So that's legal advice for this board?
Yes.
Okay. That's all.
That's it. That's all you need to know, he says. And Alex makes the case that this will cut costs and also shorten the time frame for getting a resolution. That's open to, you know, we'll see. Alex Andrade.
I believe that the law says she can only identify proscriptive reasons, black letter law saying something is illegal or not authorized by law, to veto or refuse to issue payments y'all have appropriated. That is the sole question you can focus the whole deck action on, and you can affirmatively state we're not seeking to enforce the provisions of 129.09, and I believe the judge would honor that.
129.09 is the one that says that if you wind up, if the payments were illegal for 12 years, she would owe a bunch of money. And so the question now is, can they just say, well, we do want to be against her on this case, but we promise we never want to seek the $1.5 million in back payments?
So that if a judge comes back and says, clerk was right, she issued unlawful payments since 2016, yes, you would have to, as a commission, vote to file a completely separate lawsuit to go pursue those funds.
Right. The choice to ever secure those funds would come after the fact. And it is super weird in this sense that if Pam wins, she winds up creating huge jeopardy for herself. And if she loses, then there is no jeopardy for her. That's why this case is so weird, and that's why the question of being plaintiffs or defendants is also very interesting.
It sounds like what you are saying is that you want the legal issues addressed, but you are not interested in seeing this board go and pursue under the statute that says that if there were illegal payments made, then the clerk would have to repay the county coffers.
Yes, yes.
That's what you're concerned about.
Yes, ma'am.
This, Steve Stroberger.
This, I understand, but it's a multi-count lawsuit. Yeah. So with you, this board can condition your involvement. You can do that. You can do that.
You can say we're only going to join it with this limitation that we're not seeking back payments. Alex Andrade.
And Commissioner Stroberger, if your amendment to the motion or your motion passes, it would not include any requests in this specific deck action to pursue.
A deck action is just a declaratory judgment action when they're asking the judge to rule declaratory.
To pursue back payment, and it would have to come back to the commission because, I mean, the monies would go to y'all anyway. It wouldn't be coming to my clients. My clients have no vested interest in pursuing that repayment that, again, we don't think the clerk owes because we believe all of these payments were legal. So I can commit that definitively if y'all participate as a plaintiff. If you don't participate as a plaintiff, there's no real incentive for me to amend that out of the complaint.
Yeah, so, you know, it's such a weird case all around, but in the end, he's promising, look, we don't even have standing to pursue those back payments. That would have to be the county because it'd be the county she'd be paying, and I'm willing to do that.
Ms. Rogers might disagree with me, but I think the instruction to Ms. Rogers and the instruction to me as far as becoming a potential partner in this is that we do not pursue those back payments that the statute would require be paid if the clerk is correct.
Commissioner Stroberger.
If you vote yes, fully committed not to pursue those payments.
But there is.
I believe that State Representative Andrade is going to do what he says.
He said it like three times now.
Right. So basically it comes down in the end, they're at the opposite sides on the question of the legality of the payments, which makes it weird for them to both be defendants on the same side. They don't want to be against Pam Childers and be perceived, and I think has sort of been reported by some people that they are against Pam on this, which they don't want to be. They're promising to not try to get the back payments, as in if she wins, she loses, but she wouldn't lose because they're not going to pursue that $1.5 million or whatever the amount of money is. And so in the end, they have to actually have the vote which side to join on because they have to join because one of their ordinances is in jeopardy as a result of the outcome of the case potentially.
The county is voting to join this lawsuit as a plaintiff, conditional, and I will get the proper language that was stated, that they will pursue no action for prior payments from the clerk.
Okay, that is the motion on the table made by Commissioner May, seconded by Commissioner Kohler. All in favor? Okay. I am opposed, so that passes 4-1.
3-1.
3-1.
Ashley would have preferred to be on the defense side, would have preferred to be on the clerk's side. She's much more, you know, ideologically or politically, whatever you want to call it, aligned with the clerk. She thinks that all of these payments shouldn't be made, even though she's voted for some of them. She's said now she doesn't think you should be taking people's property taxes when they're already struggling to pay their property tax. You shouldn't be taking people's property taxes to pay for charities of your choice. So in the end, they voted to join as plaintiffs. Now, John, I sometimes say that to get to the bottom of some of these stories, it takes a while. And a lot of Ricky Ricardo explaining to do. But in this case, you've heard me talk about this now for three consecutive opening hours of the show, half hours. Do you finally feel like you understand it?
I do.
Okay.
I've got a clear understanding now.
And if somebody perceived this as the county is going after Pam Childers, is that accurate?
No.
No.
You didn't get the whole conversation. Right.
The county wants to issue the payments. Pam Childers has said you cannot issue them. And so we are involved in a lawsuit because two clients hired Alex Andrade to go after the payments. They're actually, weirdly, trying to make the payments declared legal. And if they were declared legal, that would be the best protection for Pam because it would mean she issues the payments, the county was right all along, whether you agree politically or not is a different matter, and she would not be subject to any back payments of any kind because the payments were legal. On the other hand, if she wins, the payments are illegal now and in the past, then you have all this weird stuff, but at least the county's doing whatever they can do to protect her against that outcome in the future.
Which is good. I'm glad they made the right decision.
I thought it made the most sense for them to join as plaintiffs also.
Yes.
I know Pam begged them not to. I thought in the case it was actually to her advantage and in general for the timeliness of all this for it to be done as plaintiffs. 825. So there you go. Whew. John Pickens has traffic on. At least I promised we'd finish. And we finished.
Yes, thank you.
Any questions, John?
Not yet.
Okay, we'll think of them later. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the 5.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on 9 Mile Road going westbound toward I-10, I'm seeing maybe a 5-minute delay in that area, but that's it. Everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, somebody asked a question, does she not have insurance, like professional liability type insurance, to protect her against something like this? And I'm going to tell you, I do not know. And I suspect that such insurance is not available because the nature of the law is to be personally responsible for the decisions as a way of making sure you do the right thing. I don't know the fact. She might well have it. She might not have it. I don't know. But I'm suspicious that this would be personal cost to her, which is why she was concerned about that. I don't know the fact. I'm just telling you what I suspect to be the case. So please treat that with several asterisks, okay? That's analysis, not fact claim. Hey, if you are an employer and you have employees and they need benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that stuff, Torgerson Consulting, they do this well. It's the kind of stuff you don't want to do. They enjoy doing it. They're weird. That's good. That's why they do what they do. Why do you do what you do? Okay, we've been using them here for 5 years, and they have been fantastic. Plans we didn't know we had access to, choices we didn't know about, great customer service. I saw Reed Torgerson present to the Milton City Council about their health insurance, and I thought his analysis was fantastic for them. I didn't want to play the clips because I thought it'd be kind of, you know, a little dry, but really good, which is kind of what you want from a benefits analyst. Anyway, they've been in business for 25 years helping local companies. No obligation for you. Give them a call, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, informative, local, dependable.
Act 3, Scene 1. Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1.
You have not experienced Shakespeare until you have read him in the original Klingon.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's...
Good morning, 8:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and one of our newest advertisers on the show is Ace Unlocks, the great company with the terrible name. That's literally what the owner told me. He said, man, you know, I love what we do, but people misunderstand it. They think all we do is unlock cars, which, understandable, because that's how they started back at UWF in 1998, operating out of a, basically out of a Mustang and a 4Runner. And when people would call them, they locked themselves out of the car, they'd charge them $20 and fix it. They thought they'd do a couple a month. They wound up doing like two a day, became very profitable. I mean, not making a lot of money, but, you know, many transactions. It's still $25 for students, so they try to keep the cost low. They do that. But there's so much more. And one of the key things that they do now that people don't realize, key things, is they create and program fobs and keys. They can cut your laser key. They have all the same software, all the same machines the big dealers use, and they can save cost. Okay. I got a fob from them one time, and I saved money, and it was worked perfectly. Lost keys, damaged keys, need an extra key. You washed your key, and now it doesn't work. Second key, whatever the case may be. Give them a call. Residential keys and locks and keypad locks. They do that. Even app-based locks, they do that. Plus business ones as well. In any case, Ace Unlocks, they're located right there at Airport Boulevard where they meet the train tracks at 125 Airport. Or give them a call, 505-7545.
I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump posting 19 million barrels of oil flowed out the Hormuz Strait, an all-time record, and the world is a much safer place. As Vice President Vance returns from Swiss talks with a 60-day roadmap to peace, Iran will let in nuclear inspectors and the U.S. will unfreeze some Iran deposits with a caveat, says Ambassador Mike Waltz on Fox.
Yeah, they unfroze some of them to keep Iran at the table, but guess what they're going to buy? They're going to buy American crops, American farmers, soybeans.
New reporting on the ransom notes in Nancy Guthrie's disappearance that after demanding millions in Bitcoin, one said she died after the abduction and was buried with nature. Daughter Savannah makes a new plea on NBC's Today Show.
I wanted to just take the opportunity to ask people to really to beg people to come forward. Somebody knows something. We are in agony.
America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, partly cloudy right now. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. A transformational shipbuilding project at the Port of Pensacola is getting closer to coming to fruition. The Triumph Gulf Coast Board approving the term sheet yesterday for a $76 million grant to bring Burdon America's southeastern headquarters and an advanced ship manufacturing facility to Pensacola. The project would create 2,000 jobs with salaries ranging anywhere from $68,000 to $112,000 a year. It would be one of the largest job creation projects in Pensacola history. The next step is the approval of the full grant agreement, and officials say that could come before the board as soon as this summer. The total project cost is $275 million. Santa Rosa County Commissioners voting 3-1 yesterday to pursue a 12-month moratorium on data center development in unincorporated areas of the county. Staff will now draft an ordinance language for public hearings before they take a final vote. Commissioner Kerry Smith, who brought that proposal forward, says the temporary moratorium is their safest legal path, with a permanent ban potentially exposing the county to lawsuits under the Burt Harris Act, which protects private property rights. The lone dissenting vote came from Commissioner Ray Eddington, who said he preferred a permanent ban on the facilities. Well, there have been several major Second Amendment developments in Florida recently. Congressman Jimmy Patronis says the changes reflect where the law should be heading.
I feel like if any of them are challenged in court, they should get thrown out. You've got the federal laws on the books, which we are working on. There's a number of them in play, but it's no different than my Firearms Freedom Act. You know, I'm not pro machine gun, I'm not anti machine gun. I'm pro Second Amendment. I just want to have access and make sure there's no impediments to getting your right to bear arms.
Patronis was reacting to Florida declining to defend the 3-day waiting period after a court found that unconstitutional. 18 to 20 year olds now being able to concealed carry in the state, and a Supreme Court ruling on marijuana users and gun ownership. He says the federal government has multiple gun law challenges in play, and he's expecting more restrictions to fall. The University of Florida now has a new interim president, but it's his permanent appointment remains on hold. The UF Board of Trustees voting to name Dr. Stuart Bell the interim president starting on July 1st. The Florida Board of Governors has not yet voted to confirm him permanently. They are citing concerns that UF Board Chair Maury Hosseini has too much influence in that hiring process. And Florida Senator Ashley Moody pushing some new legislation to crack down on scammers that target senior citizens. The Stop Scams Against Seniors Act would authorize the creation of task forces, bringing together local, state, and federal agencies to investigate and prosecute financial fraud against older Americans. Moody says the bill has the backing of the AARP. It's 8:35 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you or even delays. I-10, I-110, 9 Mile, Highway 29. All are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a chance of rain today, 20% chance overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Wednesday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Going into Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 82 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies across the area. And your money now this morning. Markets at the opening bell are down considerably. The Dow down just under 0.75% this morning, sitting at 51,368.02. S&P 500 down over 1.5%, 73,55.05. And the NASDAQ down more than 2% today at 25,624.701. Looking at our 10-year bond rate, it is down as well, 4.48% this morning. Turning to commodities, gold down 67.80 at 41.34.60. Silver down 3.46 at 62.12 right now. And Bitcoin is down 3.25%, over 2,000 bucks at 62.219.55. Now, taking a look at those oil prices, they are down as well. West Texas Intermediate down just under 1% at $73.19 a barrel. Brent crude down just under 1% as well at $77.17 a barrel. Fuel prices, the national average for a gallon of regular is down $3.92 this morning. Florida's statewide average is sitting at $3.68 a gallon, and that is up from $3.61 a gallon yesterday. And taking a look at our local fuel prices, in Escambia County, we're seeing an average about $3.36 a gallon. Santa Rosa, $3.45. Now, the Senate is approving a massive housing affordability bill. Their goal is lowering prices.
Co-sponsored by Massachusetts Democrat Elizabeth Warren and South Carolina Republican Tim Scott, the bill was approved 85-5 on Monday in a rare, overwhelmingly bipartisan vote.
Our housing crisis doesn't just affect the opportunity to buy a home. Americans can't afford to rent either.
The bill would cut away some of the red tape and make it easier to build homes while also setting limits on institutional investors buying up houses. It now goes to the House for a vote. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Another Amazon Prime Day is underway. Shoppers have a few days to look for the best deals. What started out as a one-day extravaganza for the most desired discounts now lasts 4 days, with experts saying that Amazon Prime members should be looking for deals on Amazon-owned brands. The U.S. will allow Iran to sell oil under a temporary 60-day license, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent announcing that move in a social media post on Monday. Bessent cited productive talks between Tehran and Washington over the weekend. He said the 60-day general license authorizes the production, delivery, and sale of Iranian oil. The U.S. Navy also lifted its blockade of Iran's ports. 8:39, our next news at 9 a.m. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Please be advised, you may want to stop eating the following foods immediately. Broccoli, kale, blueberries, quinoa, spinach.
I thought those were good for me.
What's healthy for one person may cause inflammation for another. So how do you know what your body actually needs? That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that analyzes your real-time biology to give you personalized nutrition guidance and custom supplements. Learn more at Viome.com/gut. V as in Victor, Viome.com/GUT. And use coupon code GUTHEALTH50 to save $50 off your purchase.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, we're gonna get to the bottom of something extraordinarily vital today. The question is this. Does the color of the M&M matter to you? And what is your favorite and least favorite? 437-1620, 437-1620. This is actually a topic based on a news story. You see this news, John, that M&M's...
I did, without their artificial coloring or something.
That's it. They're buying the MAHA agenda. They're doing what Kennedy Jr. wants them to do, and they are trying to find all natural replacements for all their artificial dyes. And so they are able to make artificial replacements for red, orange, and yellow, no problem. But apparently brown, which is weird to me, I would think brown would be the easiest one to make because it's just throw everything in the bucket and then you get brown, right? You know,
right.
every third grader knows how to make brown, right? Just put everything else in. And blue, you can't make blue. Blue is really hard to make. And in fact, what they found is that if they use spirulina, which is like an algae or something like that, anyway, it's got the right hue. Okay, but they have to really, really, really work at it to get it bright and vivid enough. And in the process, it creates a kind of a foamy plaque that gums up the works and actually leads to mold and stuff growing inside them. So the cost of making a blue M&M is prohibitive. So when later this year they come out with the all-natural healthy M&Ms, they won't have blue and they won't have brown. At least they won't have blue. I don't know about brown for sure. Yeah,
I can't believe that.
What I don't know at this point is whether that means the end of blue and brown or whether that means that they're going to have your choice. You can either choose the blue and brown bag, including, or the healthy that don't include brown. And we'll see, you know, later on. So my question, 437-1620, do you care what color the M&M is? And if you want to venture with me down the M&M questions road, what's the right way to eat M&Ms? There are a lot of different approaches. We'll talk about it. 437-1620. You look confused, John. Have you ever eaten an M&M?
No. I'm a Hershey guy. I have to have Hershey.
Wait a stink eye, John Minnett.
One time when I was a kid.
What?
What the Florida?
You, John, you don't eat cream cheese icing.
Right.
And you've never had M&Ms?
I mean, I was forced to as a child, but I'm talking about in my adult life.
I'm out. I don't even...
What about Hershey's? I mean, I
just don't know how to talk to you about this.
Well, we can talk civilly.
I just...
That's why I was kind of looking at you.
Who hasn't eaten M&Ms? What Russian
Hershey chocolate
espionage,
bar.
Secret double agent kind of spy are you that you've never had M&Ms?
But I can't tell you.
Well, I know.
I'm a double agent.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you learn stuff about your people all the time. 437-1620. Do you even remember back in the day when we temporarily got rid of the red ones and then we got them back and it was such a great cause of solidarity? Was it red or green? Now all of a sudden I can't remember. I think it was red. But anyway, when we got them back after, you know.
Other people had issues. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
I can't with you on this today.
Fine.
So 845 News Radio 92.3. Here's what I want to know. Number one. Do you care what color your M&Ms are? Number two, best and worst. Number three, what is your M&M eating strategy? Because though John may not know
Hershey chocolate. I break off the little bar.
There are many different ways to approach the M&M challenge. John Pickens has the most un-American. Hey, I'm not saying it. The listeners are saying
Hershey's
it. They said
American.
You've never had M&Ms. How un-American. So John Pickens with un-American traffic on the fives.
Well, the un-American version of this is there's no accidents and no delays. How about that? That's un-American. And I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I love it.
Hershey's is American.
I'm just going to let you sit on this one. I got nothing. Okay, somebody says red means stop, green means go. Jim says my favorite is green, my least favorite is brown. I also don't like the brown ones.
Why, does it not taste like chocolate?
It does, but... It looks like poo.
Okay. So here's my question.
It looks like the dark brown, the light brown, they both look like bad things. And the light brown especially, it looks like what came out of my kid's diaper. I mean, it's not cool.
Little pebbles.
It looks unappetizing to me.
So the red one doesn't taste like cherry, does it? Yellow banana,
oh
no.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm just asking because that would make a difference. I mean...
I love that you asked that question. That is by far. Listen, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say it in love.
Okay, love.
That is 100% the most ignorant question I have ever heard anybody
ask.
You
try to encourage me on the show and now this?
I'm not saying you shouldn't ask it. I'm saying by definition, an ignorant question is a question that reveals ignorance. And you don't know. And asking the question of whether red M&Ms taste like cherries because it's a red coating is an ignorant question. That doesn't mean it's a bad question. It sure it is. It's not a bad thing. I don't mind ignorant questions. But it is one. And I love it. That's so adorable that you don't. So you think like a yellow M&M tastes like lemon.
Or banana or something, won't it?
Why not? I love my job so much.
I mean, the
Jeremy,
color.
Our traffic guy, is in here.
Come
he
on.
Visits us every day and gives us the logs. That's what happens on the radio station. Jeremy, would you so background, John has never had M&Ms that he can remember, and he's asking me whether the red ones taste like cherry or strawberry, or the yellow ones taste like lemon or banana, and you just wandered in. You want to say something?
And then green is lime?
Yeah, right. That's what he thinks. Well, he wonders. Well, he's not sure.
No, I'm just wondering.
He wants to know.
Because that would make a difference. Because
he thinks they're like Skittles
or not.
Yeah. Or Starburst or something.
Yeah, gummies. Yeah.
And they're not.
Get the gummy M&Ms.
What do you think about somebody who's never had M&Ms? American?
No. Not America.
Yeah, that's right. Jeremy, thanks for the time.
I'm more American than...
So anyway...
Thanks for the input. Love you too, Jeremy.
This is why I love these questions, because you never know where it's going to go. You never know what you're going to find out.
Boy, I surprised you on this one.
Didn't even occur to me that there would be a human being with a college education. I mean, it was Ole Miss. Sorry. I love you so much. I really do. All right.
Do you have in your trunk?
Oh, I know it. Bruce says color doesn't matter, but it must be peanut M&Ms. Oh, that's a whole different disorder. Never eat them one at a time. Must consume a handful. I don't mind the peanut M&M, but it's not an M&M. It's a completely different candy. They shouldn't even call it M&Ms. I sort the colors, this person says, then have a competition to see which is strongest. Mash two together to see which one breaks. It goes in a tournament. Only one is left. 8 M&Ms enter, 1 M&M leaves. I love that. Oh, that's fantastic. Somebody says, I eat the brown ones first, red, orange, yellow, blue, and the green ones last. Oh, brown first. How fascinating. Is that like getting the bad thing over with or because you like them the best? Because different views on that, right? Somebody says, I just don't like blue M&Ms. They aren't at all festive. I love it so much. This is why I love this show. I can ask a question I think people are going to love, and there's no participation. I'm going to ask the crazy, dumbest question ever in all these texts. Let's see. The flavor isn't different, so the color doesn't matter. That's educational for
okay,
you, John.
So,
I'm more concerned. No, because everybody, they all know this.
Okay.
The fact that you asked is what they find funny. That's what's hilarious. The flavor isn't different, so the color doesn't matter. I'm more concerned that they will not taste as good as if they change the ingredients. Agreed. I empty the bag and eat one color at a time, all the reds, then all the greens. Oh, look at, you got all different kinds of ways. I love this. Somebody says Hershey's American, M&M's are from Mars. Oh.
Thank you.
Oh.
Whoever you are, thank you.
But did you get the jokes?
I do.
Okay.
But at least it's American.
M&M's are all the same. Just throw a handful in your mouth. Just don't let RFK take my red dye 40. Love it. Jim says, get the orange vanilla cream M&M's and put them in the freezer. They taste like ice cream. Well, we're on a whole different subject now, though. My favorite is red. My least is brown. I separate them and eat the worst color first to get it over with. John may have accidentally created the next best thing. Flavored M&M's, cherry coating with chocolate, banana coating with chocolate, and so on. Brilliant idea.
Boom. Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
John, I thought Texans considered themselves their own country.
We are. We only eat Hershey's.
Oh, my God. I love it so much. Eating M&M's is a question on the citizenship test. Send John back. That's great.
I'll go back to Texas.
I will tell you that other than the fact that I just vaguely don't like the brown color, I don't care which color I eat first, but I will tell you that I am adamant that M&M's should be only eaten one at a time so you can enjoy it. It is better, the best way, if I have the patience, if I have the time, the best way is to kind of gently suck on them until the outside crust becomes so thin with wear that it kind of doesn't crack, but it sort of crumbles. And inside, by that point in your mouth, it'll be soft chocolate on the inside. And it is a whole different tactile experience in your mouth. Try it. Try it. Somebody here says 437-1620, actually red tastes different, like the red dye. And somebody else says, what I love most about M&M's is all the chocolate ones.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax base growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Now that's what I call a manly shave right there.
Good morning, 8:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola morning. Did I say Pensacola? It's the Pensacola morning news. Hey, if I'm going to make fun of other people's verbal gaffes, I got to make fun of my own, right?
That is true.
I mean, you got to be consistent.
I'm proud of you.
Self-mockery is vital. I mean, it really is. I'd never, never trust a person that cannot laugh at their own mistakes, make fun of themselves. You know, that person scares me. If you are thinking about that next vehicle or maybe putting off thinking about it because, you know, you don't like the process, it's very understandable. At Frontier Motors, they know that, and their goal is to make the process not so bad. I don't want to lie to you and make it like you're going to love the process. I mean, you still got to go drive a bunch of cars and look at them and think about them, and it's going to take time and money. In my experience, they have made it as good as it can be made, you know, by not having you deal with all of the annoying elements and making it as simple. And, you know, if you don't want to, you know, meet a bunch of different people, you don't have to, you know, it's one person. They have a bunch of cars all in one place, 300 or so on the lot at any given moment. And, you know, they warranty everything to 10 years or 100,000 miles. The cars are a year, two, 3 years young, 10, 15, 20,000 miles, something like that. And go look, there's a massive buffet of cars there for you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for actually 29 years, right here on Beverly Parkway, right behind the Big Buffalo. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 8:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you, so that's great news. And no delays either. I-10, I-110, even 90, 98, 29, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. We have more follow-up on the Major League Baseball, you know, Pride Night and the personal messages on the hats and all of that. And this time it's, you know, John, I try really hard just to tell you the truth, do fair analysis, and then, you know, try to, like, derail the misconceptions around stories because this story has been nothing but misunderstandings on both sides all around. It's so fascinating to me. You know, conservatives have been screaming about the wrong things. Liberals have been screaming about the wrong things. And so in this case, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred answered Senator Josh Hawley's press, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, Republican, because Josh Hawley wrote a letter and he basically said, why are you warning these players? Why are you doing something against players who just put, you know, Bible messages on their caps? Why are you warning them for publicly expressing their Christian faith? Well, I can tell you the answer to that is because you're not allowed to put personal messages on your uniforms. It has nothing to do with whether it's Christian or anything else or blasphemous or, you know, Buddhist or, you know, racial or racist. It has nothing to do with that. They have a rule that you're not allowed to put personal messages on your hats. We've talked about this. This policy came about in 2023. You're not allowed to have even special uniforms, which is kind of interesting because you're not supposed to have pride uniforms, but they grandfathered in, which I know you're not supposed to use that term, but anyway, for reasons that have to do with race more than anything else. But you're not allowed to have special uniforms unless they honor deceased members of the baseball community, okay, narrow circumstances, or they commemorate baseball milestones. That's why we have like 42 Day for Jackie Robinson. But, you know, there was an exemption made for the Dodgers and the Giants who were allowed to keep using pride emblems on the uniforms and hats. They were grandfathered in because L.A. and San Francisco are home to very large LGBTQ communities. Okay, so flash forward to today when three players on the Giants, you know, wrote on their pride rainbow hat, Genesis 9, 12 to 15 or 16 or whatever, different players wrote different things. And one player decided to wear the regular hat. To me, what's always been funny about this is they were allowed to wear the regular hat. Here's where the warning came in. So they had issued a warning, and then after they did an investigation, Rob Manfred said there will be no more penalties, no more sanctions, no more warnings because the players didn't know they were allowed to wear the basic hat. Nobody informed the players that they were completely allowed to wear the regular hat. So them writing the inscription was them responding to their ignorance of not knowing they could wear the regular hat, which one of their teammates did decide to do, and so they were neither fined nor disciplined. And that's it. That's the end of it. So now the conservative world, typically my world, is spinning this as Major League Baseball didn't do their job, and they're the ones in the wrong. Okay. Just take the win and move on. We're done. It's over. It's stupid. And if they don't want to wear a pride hat, they don't have to wear a pride hat. And that's all there is to it. So I just, my people. Every once in a while, my people. 8:58 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? I mentioned that one earlier. I don't want to do that. Oh, we've been talking about the birth thing all day. David has. But a semi-related. You know, Burdine is going to create 2,000 jobs at the port when this thing finally gets approved, assuming that it does. It's going to be a major 200-plus million project in the same price sphere as the ST Engineering hangars. But did you know that Austal has now begun making nuclear submarines for the Navy? Actually, two different classes of nuclear submarines. That deal was inked a couple of months ago, and they're in the process of doing it. But they're making nuclear submarines for the Navy over in Mobile, which I think is a great local benefit and shipbuilding. I love to see that part of the expansion that the Navy wants to do for shipbuilding, that the Trump administration wants to do. So anyway, just a little thing that kind of slipped past. I had had it on my show prep for a long time, but we never mentioned it. And, you know, like I said, I always like to celebrate the good news to the degree that we can. All right, that's it for me. You got Meg coming up next with our good friend Mike Wiggins. They're going to talk about gardening things on the Garden Line. One of the best shows that Pep Talk does. Local news.